This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Heroic hyperbole and presidential relief over reaching that deal in Paris over the weekend.
We may not live to see the full realization of our achievement, but that's okay. What matters is that today we can be more confident that this planet is going to be in better shape for the next generation.
The excitement over the agreement in Paris was accompanied by unseasonably warm weather all over the Western Hemisphere. While a lot of scientists quietly suggested that temperature rise above the Paris goals is already baked into the environment right now, right-wing critics of the plan were predictably glum. In a statement, Senator Jim Inhofe, Republican of Oklahoma, said the agreement is no different from the Kyoto Protocol on climate change, adopted and ignored by the U.S. 18 years ago. Quote, "The news remains the same. This agreement is no more binding than any other agreement from any conference of the parties over the last 21 years. The deal allows for trillions of dollars to be spent acclimating to the effects of climate change, compensating people for damages, from infrastructure to developing energy sources such as wind and solar power. But in a sense, this agreement is a blueprint for world governance to achieve a common goal, a goal not unlike the mission to end war after World War II, with the creation of the United Nations here in this animated film from 1945, narrated by a voice that sounds curiously like Ronald Reagan.
50 nations who want peace got together. They formed the United Nations Organization. Purpose? To stop wars. The United Nations Organization is a working plan for peace. 50 nations have decided to put war out of business. This plan may not be perfect. It's still open for improvements. But it is a chance for peace. And up to now, it's the best chance we've ever had.
In case you haven't noticed, war is still with us, though, 70 years after the creation of the United Nations. Joining us is Bob Deans, Director of Strategic Engagement for the Natural Resources Defense Council. Bob, do you think the world will be any better at halting climate change than it has been in getting to world peace? Any of that rhetoric sound familiar to you from 1945?
Well, it certainly does, John, and we certainly hope we will be much more successful. But let's remember the architecture that was put in place after World War II has helped make this a more peaceful world. It has helped to make the world less chaotic. It has given us the instruments we need to work for peace. And I think what happened in Paris can be compared to that, because after all, the world did get together and agree here on a blueprint, really, for a better future for us. Nearly 200 countries, John, got together and made an agreement. Here's what they said. Basically, writ large, they said three things. One, we've got a problem. Climate change is a problem for all of us. And it means widening deserts, rising seas, mass extinctions. We've got to put a stop to it. Two, we've got a fix. The fix is let's work together to move deliberately and over time to get away from burning oil, gas, and coal that's driving climate change and shift to cleaner, smarter energy options to power our future. And three, we're all going to do our part. 187 countries, John, put their own plans on the table that said, we're going to invest in efficiency so we can do more with less waste. That makes sense. We're going to get more power from the wind and sun. That's smart, too. And we're going to build modern transportation options. And all of us working together are going to cut the global carbon footprint to protect our children from the rising dangers of climate change. That's important.
Well, as we saw with the United Nations, certain nations found it in their interest to unilaterally defy the UN, and we can name names, but I don't want to add to the controversy here. It was also the case that it might be difficult for nations collectively to act in a short-term way that is not in their self-interest, and this agreement really calls for that kind of short-term, not-in-our-self-interest kinds of behavior, at least an order of magnitude beyond the United Nations. I mean, they're going to have to do stuff immediately, and they're going to have to feel the pain of it almost immediately, even though, as you say, it's a laudable goal and everybody is signed on.
You know, again, John, I love the comparison here because this is how international relations work. This is the basis of international cooperation, is that we get together and we agree on values and goals. And then we say, working from those principles, what can each country bring to the table, looking at its own arc of development, its own resource base? What can each country do? And so that's what we've seen. And the latitude is enormous. Certainly, the United States is in many ways a leader, and that starts with leadership here at home, cutting the carbon from our cars, our trucks, our dirty power plants. We're hard at work doing that across this country, and we're creating a lot of jobs doing it, too, in the meantime. But you look at a country like India that's got a rising population, it's got an expanding economy, it's trying to improve life for its people, and yet India got out there and said, we're going to launch an Apollo mission to get more power from the wind and the sun. And John, over the next 7 years, India is going to build enough wind and power in its country to replace 350 coal-fired power plants. That's immense. That's enormous. That's a huge contribution. And then you look at another country like China. China's a huge part of the problem. It has to be a huge part of the solution. And the good news is that's what China's doing. China is the world's largest investor right now in wind and solar power. 40% of all the world's wind and solar power now is in China. $90 billion worth last year alone. And the country is going to set in 2 years, John, the world's largest market for trading carbon credits. Our own country could learn a little bit from China about using this capitalist tool.
And you describe a phenomenon that really happened very, very quickly. I mean, China, I think, turned around on this in just a couple of years. And you're right. There is a quickness to the pace and the sense of, let's get this done from all the leaders in Paris. But if you look at the stats, the only thing that actually reduced emissions over the last 20 years is the economic downturn in 2009. That was extremely painful for a lot of people. Do we have to duplicate the conditions for that pain to achieve the goals of Paris?
Absolutely not. A couple of quick things in terms of, because I like that you mentioned self-interest here. You know, the Chinese realize, holy cow, John, they were telling people in Beijing you have to stay inside last week because the air pollution was so bad. When you cut the carbon pollution, when you cut your fossil fuel consumption, you reduce that pollution. They've got to do that. That's in their self-interest. You look at India. There are places in Gujarat where they're getting salt and they have to evaporate water and dry up these waters. We have helped put solar water pumps in these areas, and it's saving so much money that women are telling us, boy, for the first time, I can send my children to school. So we're improving lives, we're improving the economy, and we're cutting our carbon footprint. And right here in this country, John, we have cut our carbon emissions 10% over the past decade while the economy has grown 16%. So this is all about economic development. In fact, the transformation of the global economy to a clean energy economy is going to be the economic play of our lifetime. It's going to create millions of jobs. We're talking about trillions of dollars in investment over the coming decades. This is big, and this is going to improve our lives.
Talking 70 years after the creation of the UN, Bob Deans is assessing the significance of the Global Climate Change Agreement in Paris. Bob Deans is director of the Strategic Engagement Department of the Natural Resources Defense Council. Bob, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.